It is hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK at 11:45. It's our tweets of the week, including Blake Bortles and asparagus. At 11:30, Wags leads us through Tinder time. And here in just a few minutes, we're going to speak with Sam Tripoli about the Raiders hiring Gruden and a whole lot more. But real quick, we do have some breaking news, guys. You want to fill the people in?
Yeah, the rich get richer. This is from John Morosi, who does all kinds of sports but works for the MLB Network. Garrett Cole. Sources. Garrett Cole, trade to the Astros imminent. So it looks like the Houston Astros, of course, the World Series champions, are closing in on Pittsburgh Pirates ace Garrett Cole. Which, boy, if that's true, that's unbelievable. I mean, I already felt like the Astros were favorites on paper going into 2018, despite what the Yankees have done, despite the other... Oh, it's really been a cold stove this offseason. No one's really doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, Garrett Cole, you put him in the rotation with Verlander and Dallas Keuchel and McCullers and Morton. That is scary. Garrett Cole coming off a 12-12 year. Not his best year, right? 4.26 ERA, a little bit of a down year for him. The Pirates as a team didn't get it done in 2017, but he has ace-like stuff. He's a former number one overall pick out of UCLA, super talented, still pretty young as well at the age of 26. Huge get for the Houston Astros, and I know the Pirates were expecting a big haul, so part of me is thinking, hey, the Astros just won, right? They were in go-get-it mode at the trade deadline. It looks like they're still after it. They know that some of their players in a couple of years are going to have contracts that they won't be able to afford. They are trying to win as many of these things right now as they can, and getting Garrett Cole was evidence of that. That's probably a great move for the Astros.
Congrats, Astros fans. All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. Dude, I don't want to talk anymore about
that. That's all you
gotta
say. Come on, it's a big trade.
The Rangers are about to suck for another season. I don't want to talk about that. No, congrats, Astros fans. Hope Garrett Cole has a bad 2018, too. Sorry, you won your championship.
That's unbiased radio right there.
Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. We already hear him there. He's one of our favorite comedians. You blew it if you missed him performing at Cap City Comedy Club last month. Follow him on Twitter at Sam Tripoli. He is Sam Tripoli. Sam, thank you for the time. How you doing today, man?
Great, great. Love being on the show. Thank you for that horrible news about the Astros. It's garbage. I wonder when Dave Roberts is going to get his MVP of the World Series trophy for starting Yu Darvish in game one so the Astros could light him up. So, yeah. More bad news. Thank you.
I honestly thought the MLB should have given the MVP award to Yu Darvish because it looked like the Dodgers and Astros were just about evenly matched in every facet of the game. But whenever Yu Darvish pitched, he got blasted. And whenever everybody else pitched, it was close.
Yeah, Alex Woods goes into Houston and lights him up, and then he hasn't pitched in 5 days. Why wouldn't you start him? It's my theory on in-game analytics. It's dumb. In-game analytics ruins baseball. Analytics are great going, okay, we need somebody who's good against left-hand pitchers. Who's out here? Let's crunch some numbers. Oh, who should we draft? Let's crunch some numbers. Once the game's going, dude, let it roll, homeboy. Let it roll. Stop trying to be the smartest guy in the room. I can't stand that stuff. Just let the game go. That's what the Houston Astros coach did. And then, you know, Dave Roberts, just every time we lost the game in the World Series, because Dave Roberts, I'm the smartest guy in the room. And that's what he would do every time.
Now, we're having you on, Sam, today for a number of reasons, primarily to get your thoughts on John Gruden joining the Oakland Raiders, but Austin will always be a part of your history because you were watching your Raiders as they lost to the Dallas Cowboys in heartbreaking fashion after you guys show on that Sunday night here in town, which secured your fate in having to deal with the reverse Kobayashi with a frozen hot dog per your bet on Punch Drunk Sports with Jason Tebow and Ari Shaffir. Are there any plans underway to make sure that you and Ari have to go through this ritual? And is Jason letting you guys hear the end of it at all?
Well, Ari actually went to the national championship game on Monday night. So we haven't all been in the same place, but we're talking. I have my legal team looking over the contract, crunching the numbers, seeing what's actually what I got to do, what I don't have to do. There's always options, but yes, it was Derek Carr, two games in a row, single-handedly shoved a hot dog in my butt. So that's how it goes.
But things are looking up now for your franchise. Not only are you going to be moving to Vegas here in, what, just 2 years now, but also you get Chucky back. How did you feel when you found out that news? Do you think this is a good thing for the Raiders?
I think it's a good sign in terms of it is a sign that they are committed to winning. They'll do what they have to do. They'll go after who they have to go after. And everybody, for the most part, thinks this is a great hire. Here's a guy who has not coached in 9 years. So that is a real thing. This whole thing rides or dies on who his coordinators are. Who are his offensive coordinators? Who is his defensive coordinator? So I have to wait to see that. I feel bad for Jack Del Rio. I mean, 2 years ago, everybody was loving this guy. You know, the game one versus New Orleans, to go for it and try to win on the last play. You know, Blackjack, we called him Blackjack, and because he gambled, and we love that. The problem is he kept Ken Norton Jr. Our offense, I mean, our defense was horrible. I mean, just horrible. Our backfield on our defense became a graveyard of elite college quarterbacks. And he basically took a college coordinator, tried to make him a pro coordinator, and the guy just made no changes from year one to two. So it just, we had to get rid of him. So I want to see what happens. Can Chucky teach Amari Cooper to catch the ball again? I don't know what happened. If you have Amari Cooper in your fantasy leagues, he just completely screws you. I mean, dropping balls. So I'm excited because it's a show of commitment. It's a show that we are in it to win it, which is what we never got before. It's this new Raiders movement, and I know they're moving to Vegas in a year or two, so they got to kind of get everybody. I'm excited about it, but is it 100% slam dunk? No. Does it make me nervous that we just fired another coach after 2 years? That makes me nervous. These are what unstable franchises do. They're just head coach serial killers, and they're just killing coaches left and right, and it's just, that's not how you do it. Now, do you want to be the Browns that keeps Jackson around forever? I don't know.
Nope. I was a little surprised. I mean, look, Jack Del Rio got the 4-year extension before last season began, and you know, obviously it was a disappointing year two for him, but year one, I think, kind of caught a lot of people off guard, right? You saw a ton of players, including the hot dog man Derek Carr and Amari Cooper. I mean, guys took big strides, but this year it just kind of felt like he lost the locker room a little bit. I mean, on the field, just everybody digressed. Everybody regressed, it felt like, for the Oakland Raiders. And then you had the whole national anthem type bit where there was a report out there that
seems to be where it goes.
Yeah.
Where we're on this, like, winning streak. And it just seems like that national anthem moment is where the whole division crashes and burns. Because if you remember, like, everybody in the division was killing it. And then it just, the bottom fell out between the Denver Broncos and the Raiders. Obviously, the Chargers made a kind of late push, and Kansas City got in. But they even had a six-game losing streak. And so it was just interesting. It really upsets me that if this guy didn't take a knee, the offensive line got really offended and just threw off the chemistry in the room. That really upsets me. I don't know. It's upsetting because we should have made more giant strides. And you know, just Carr, just when he gets hurt, he gets hurt. It's not like a little nick. I mean, it is like his back is whatever it is. It makes me a little nervous too, man.
Does the 10-year deal bother you at all, Sam?
Well, it ain't my money, dog. I mean, like, you want to write a check to the dude, write a check to the dude. It's not like it's not a salary cap thing. So you could pay a coach a gazillion dollars, I don't really care, and you fire him. That's coming out of your pockets. It's not like I'm going to have this isn't like the NBA in 2002 where you got Darius Miles making $20 million a year and never playing, you know, and he's just sitting at the end of your bench for like 5 years in a row and your team never goes. So, you know, I don't care about that's owner money. He can pay him whatever he wants. I'm fine with it. It's a commitment. It's just like, who is this guy's offensive coordinator going to be? Because a lot of good offensive coordinators are getting chewed up right now, you know, are getting signed. I'm dying to see who he gets. It's all in those coordinators that make or break this guy.
I thought I saw that Gruden plans on calling plays for himself, though, so that's at least part of the equation figured out.
And what plays is it? What plays are we playing? Are we doing plays from 2006, 2007? Because it's a different NFL, man. This is an NFL spread. and it's go far and it goes wide, and it's not a simple thing. And then the draft, what kind of safety? I think that's another place where we'll see him hopefully have a real input, is in draft picks. And I think Reggie McKenzie has of late had some good draft picks. I don't know what is going on with our defensive backfield. We draft all the heavy hitters, all the great guys, and they do nothing in the pros. So hopefully he'll get some. And I would like a new running back, too. I like Marshawn Lynch. I think he's great, but I want to like one of these workhorses now. So it's going to be interesting. The draft is going to be an interesting thing. I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, I know. I think there's reports that Gruden is looking for Greg Olsen, not the Panthers tight end, but the Rams wide receiver coach to come in and be the OC. So we'll see if that goes down. But
that would be great. Open it up.
Yeah.
Here's where we are at in professional sports. And you're seeing it now in college basketball. And you actually see it a little bit in college football. There is so much talent now. There's so much talent. I mean, like the amount of D1 athletes today versus the amount of D1 athletes 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's like tenfold. There's so many great athletes out there. There's so many great athletes. So in my opinion, and yeah, I could be wrong, that the playing field is so even now. That it literally comes down to who is your coach, who is your GM. And on top of that, even more, is your owner. Those three guys make you or break you. Like, if you have a bad owner, it's like a dad. You ever meet a family that the dad is a whack job? The whole family is a whack job, you know? And that's like an owner. If you have a crazy owner, you have a crazy franchise.
Yeah, that's Jerry Jones right there. We see that firsthand.
Right? So it's like if you took anybody, you could take any team. They have enough talent to compete, but do they have the minds to put everybody in positions to win? And that's everything, because there's so much talent out. Look at college basketball. Number one, number two, number three get knocked off constantly by teams you've hardly ever heard of. I mean, look at North Carolina went down to that white boy who scored like 45 on them. Whoever that is from Winthrop or whatever, that guy is the dude you want to draft. I have this theory I call it the Tripoli theorem, right? And that is the guy you want to draft is the dude who plays either on a doormat team in a Power 5 conference or like a mid-major that goes in and knocks off powerhouses. That's the dude you want. Because the guys who play on these super teams have super talent. You see it all the time with USC quarterbacks. They have all the talent, and they light everybody up. And then they go to the next level where everybody's talented, and they can't do it because they have no advantage.
Interesting stuff right
guys
there.
The little teams that knock off the monsters, those are the dudes you want to sign.
I like that. Hey, Sam, what about, more importantly, who's going to replace John Gruden in the booth, man? I mean, Trent and I haven't had this conversation yet, but I don't like the hire because I like Gruden in the booth. What's going to happen?
I like Gruden in the booth, too. I mean, would they go what's-his-face, who used to be the Jets coach?
Sexy Rex Ryan?
Rex,
come
you know
on, man.
Likes more than Rex Ryan? You know who I like more than Rex Ryan? His brother.
Rob Ryan.
Defensive coordinator. He's wonderful to listen to. Like, he's on radio out here all the time. He is excellent at talking. He's much better than his brother. You know when they did that one, the first Monday Night Football game, and it was like they had the B team with the guy from, like, Telemundo on the sidelines?
Sergio Dipp, yeah.
Having the time of his life.
Having the time of his life.
Right? That guy? The garbage squad? Right? Dude, not fun. His brother, excellent. Horrible defensive coordinator. Excellent, like, commentator. I'd like to see that guy in there.
Sam, do you think either of the AFC underdogs have a chance of knocking off Pittsburgh or New England this weekend? That, of course, would be Tennessee and Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, for sure. I mean, you're in Jacksonville. You are in a weird place. You're in a weird place. What do you do with Blake Bortles? And by the way, I thought Blake Bortles was going to murder it in the NFL. I'm really amazed he hasn't. And it just lets you know, again, going back to what I'm talking about, the coaches, the GMs, were all crazy people at the Jags. They finally got Tom Coughlin, who is a murderer of murderers, okay? As great as we love Bill Belichick, who is the only guy to not beat him once, twice in the Super Bowl.
True.
You know, Tom Coughlin took, who did he take, Jacksonville the first time when they were everybody loves the Black Knights of Vegas as this expansion team doing crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Look at what the Jags and the Panthers did way back in the day.
Yep.
They did the same thing to the point they had to change the rules because they're like, okay, these guys got too good too quick. I mean, that's just Tom Coughlin. He's a murderer of murderers, man. Hmm. So I could see I easily see the Jags knocking off Pittsburgh. They lit them up. Ramsey lit up Big Ben. What, 5 interceptions? Not necessarily all by Ramsey, but the Jags' defense.
Yeah.
So I think the Jags win. I'm calling it right now. Jags win that game.
That'd be something right there. They did win the first matchup.
I could see New England losing.
No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't. Not
maybe
to Tennessee.
Not
to Jacksonville? You think Blake Bortles is going to go up to Foxborough and beat Tom Brady? Do you hear yourself?
Dude, listen to me, man.
I'm listening.
All you have to do is not mess it up. That defense is so good. That defense is so good. And if they can beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, you just never know.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. All right, what about the NFC, Sam? You've got the Falcons moving on. They get the win over the Rams out in L.A. They move on to Philly. Philly, obviously, without Carson Wentz, they're the underdogs, even though they're at home. That matchup, and of course, what I think maybe is the game of the weekend, definitely the game of the weekend, is the Saints and the Minnesota Vikings. I feel like the winner of that game is probably representing the NFC come Super Bowl time. What's your take on those two games?
It's so interesting, right? I mean, like, what do you do if you're Minnesota? Do you open up the roof? Do you open it up? And then everybody's freezing, but it's a big advantage over the Saints. But here's the thing about Saints. They now have a running game. They're not just a finesse passing game. I agree. I got to be honest. The Falcons come out of England, of Philadelphia, in my opinion. Without Carson Wentz, that team isn't the same. And then Nick Foles is good, but he's just not Carson Wentz. So I think the Falcons come out of that. I love Minnesota. The city is great. They're all wonderful people. I wouldn't mind seeing Drew Brees get another chip. I wouldn't mind it. And I think this might be the last run. That's a hard call right there. I'm going to go with the Saints. I just think they have a high-octane offense and a defense that's good enough. I think it's good enough. So, but I could easily see it go the other way. But I'm going to go with the Saints on that one. And then you have a Falcons-Saints NFC Championship, which is going to be a wonderful game. And then, hey, man, what if the Falcons get back against New Orleans? I mean, against
New England.
Against New England. How crazy would that be?
Tebow was confident going into last weekend, and you heard this on the Punch Drunk podcast, that if they could get past the Rams, that he could foresee them making it all the way back to the Super Bowl. And he still sounds pretty confident
that
about that.
Their defense is clicking. Their offense is back. I could see it, too. But I could also see the New Orleans Saints doing one last run with the coach and the quarterback. One more time. I could definitely see it. It's going to be interesting. I think this is a great time. It just makes me sad because we only have, a month left of football?
Yeah.
That's the sad part. You always hear people with children go, oh, it goes so quick. That's how I feel about fantasy football and football. It just, once the season starts, it's the end of the season before you know it.
Sad but true. Yeah. Sam Tripoli, the comedian, joins us for one more question here. Sam, what's piquing your interest in the NBA right now?
I think the NBA is at the best it's ever been. Toronto getting no coverage, killing people. Ibaka being crazy, but trying to fight, what's his name, Jones or Mike James or
everybody. He's fighting everybody.
Dude is fighting everybody, and I love it. I think it's very interesting what's going on with the Lakers, man. It's very interesting what's going on with the Lakers because Lakers just think, oh, we're the Lakers. We're going to bounce back, and they don't understand. This is a different NBA. Alonzo Ball is getting a lot of too much pressure. The kid is doing wonderful. He's doing wonderful. And they want him to be something he's not. He is not Russell Westbrook. He is Jason Kidd. He's a wonderful player. He talks no smack about anybody. He's always very quiet, you know. And they just, and now his dad talked crap about Luke Walton. And it's just like, the problem with the Lakers is Lakers think they're too Hollywood. They think young people can do anything. They don't realize this is a grown man's league, okay? A great example is this, right? The play what's going on with Lonzo Ball and any of these guys who are coming out of the NBA, out of NCAAs after 1 year, which I think it should be 2 years. And we've talked about this before. We have to work on a payment program, and we have to work. Yeah, why can't they give loans to D1 players if they know they're going to go pro? Like kind of like student loans, like you go to school. Why not loan? Here's some money, live your life, and then you pay it once you get drafted. But back to this. So there's this comic. Her name is Taylor Tomlinson. Mm-hmm. She is I call her the future. She's 24, and I met her when she was 19 years old, and I went to go talk. She was opening for me. She's very quiet. I'm like, who is this stuck-up chick? And I realized she's very quiet, and she's just kind of just by herself. So this 19-year-old girl walks up on stage and starts doing old black man crowd work, just lighting this room up. Look at this dude right here. And everyone's going nuts. I'm like, oh, man, this is real deal here. She's wonderful at 24 years old. I do a show called Comedy Chaos. I have Brian Callen, Joe Rogan, Joey Diaz, Tom Segura, Bert Kreischer in the show, right? She's wonderful. But I take her and put her in that lineup, she's going to tread water. So that's what it is about these young kids coming in. We think they just because they're these incredibly naturally gifted, talented athletes that they're just going to come in and crush it. Now, occasionally, you do have a Kevin Durant. You do have a LeBron James. But for the most part, these guys are going to a level where they're all good. They're all that good. And they don't have the experience. So, going up against grown-ass men, they're not going to change the franchise. Not after 1 year in college. I mean, these kids have boy bodies. And they're going up against grown cyborgs, dog. Cyborgs. Like dudes who are, and I know it's not the NFL, and it's not that physical, but it is a physical game. And watch every year as all these first-round picks get hurt because they just get grinded, especially the big men. The big men get beat up by grown men, the most physically gifted human beings on the planet playing the NFL.
This isn't opinions. This is physiology, that your body is finishing off its final major physical developments when you're in your early 20s. There is a vast difference between 18 and 19 versus 21, 22 years old, period. It's why all the other professional sports leagues do things the right way. And specifically with a football, obviously, you have to be in college for 3 years. But with baseball, okay, if you want to try to go pro out of high school, go for it. We'll go ahead and agree with this concept that this is America, land of the free, home of the brave. You can give it a go. Good luck with that. Otherwise, go to college for 3 years, develop yourself physically and mentally, and then try again in a couple years, you know?
There's a giant difference between literally a 19-year-old and a 21-year-old, even a 20-year-old. The bodies are totally different, and they can stack up, and they can physically handle the pounding, man. But the draft is meant to get you instant talent to turn your franchise around, and you're just not getting it anymore. So teams like Sacramento just forever are not good because you take these amazing players and you put them in a mark. And by the way, Sacramento is a wonderful city. I do not know why everybody hates it. It is a wonderful city. But the franchise can't get going because they can't get any free agents to come there because it's got this bad, you know, juju, which I don't understand. It's a wonderful city. So it's never going to go because they just keep getting all these young guys after 1 year. Now, if you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, man, that team right now is put together with a bunch of one-and-dones who never got their potential. Everybody on that team came out after 1 year, was supposed to be a star, never developed because they were just thrown to the fire, and now they're just doing, you know, these small contracts until Memphis gets the right player they want. It's all one-and-dones who never panned out. That's what the NBA is.
Follow him on Twitter, at Sam Tripoli. Check out his website, samtripoli.com. Sam, thank you as always for the time, man. Really appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for letting me scream at you guys.
We love it. Always fun, man. Do it again
you
soon.
You guys have a great show, and it's always a pleasure to see you when I'm in Austin. You guys are the best. Thank you so much.
You too, brother.
Same to you. Good stuff, Sam Tripoli. A little bit of everything. A little bit of NFL. John Gruden talk, some NBA, too. And, boy, some really sobering and honestly devastating news that we have to unfortunately break on the other side.
Hate to transition from having a lot of fun like we just were to this, but this is extremely serious. Want to put some separation between the conversation we had with Sam and what we're about to have to report after this commercial.
Yeah, no doubt. So a little bit of an update on Texas basketball. Some sad news coming next. It's midday with Trey and PK on the Horn.
Back here on the Midday Show, thank you again to Sam Tripoli for joining us. Please do check his work out, samtripoli.com. Also, the Punch Drunk podcast, really good stuff. And it's really sad news that we have to report to you folks right now. And this is something that there have been whispers behind the scenes that there was something more serious going on with Andrew Jones versus a mono diagnosis or something along those lines. And that's not to say that mono isn't serious, but it's not this serious. The University of Texas just sent out a release that after undergoing a number of tests and evaluations over the past week, Andrew Jones has been diagnosed with leukemia. He has begun treatments, and this is from the university. We hope everyone will keep him in your thoughts and prayers. This is obviously a difficult situation for the family, and we hope that everyone respects the Jones family privacy at this time.
Yeah, absolutely devastating. That's rough to hear. There were some, I guess, behind the scenes rumors or rumblings going on that it was something a little bit more serious than what was initially thought of. And look, you know, an illness, you hear illness and you just assume it's something minor, but starting to miss more games. And you hear these press conferences with Shaka Smart that there's no timetable for any sort of return. And you can just kind of tell just from the sound of his voice. Or if you ever, you know, went to YouTube or TexasSports.com and watched, you know, the weekly availabilities for Shaka Smart, especially the one he had yesterday. You can just tell. You can just tell something was up. It was more serious than just the standard illness or sickness. And yeah, absolutely devastating news. You know, prayers out to Andrew himself, and of course his family, and you know the Texas basketball family as well. This is sobering and just absolutely devastating and crushing news for a really good kid who's 19 years old. I mean, leave basketball outside of it, just a 19-year-old college kid trying to enjoy and live his life as a college student. Obviously, had a bright future in front of him as at the next level at the NBA as well. But man, you know, this is just absolutely heartbreaking for Andrew and his family.
And this is far from a life ender. There are plenty of options in the current medical system to help someone recover from this serious illness, but it's also not something that is not going to be cured even in the next couple of months. So our thoughts are definitely with Andrew and his family. And this is a kid, you mentioned he's a good kid. He's also a kid that was borderline an NBA draft pick last year, decided to come back to school for his sophomore year. By all accounts, this was likely going to be his last season here in Austin before living out his dream of playing in the NBA. So best wishes to Andrew in a recovery from this terrible, terrible disease.
Yeah, the University of Texas had this press release. They also, here's a statement from Shaka Smart, saying, quote, speaking for our entire team and staff, we love Andrew and we'll do everything that we can to support his family and help him get back to health. I want to thank everyone for being respectful of the privacy that the Jones family needs at this time, end quote. And then, of course, from Chris Del Conte, the new athletic director here at Texas, saying, quote, we know Andrew's a fighter with a strong family, and our thoughts, prayers, and support are fully behind them. At the University of Texas, we will do everything in our power to provide all of the resources we can to assist Andrew and his family, end quote. So, yeah, devastating news, man. It puts tonight's game and really just the rest of the season kind of the side a little bit. Now just gotta pray and hope that Andrew Jones can fight and beat this thing.
Let's go ahead and take an early commercial break. I know we have some other things to move on. We're not going to dwell on this, but I'd like to put a little bit separation before we hit tender time. So we'll do that after the break, as well as getting you our tweets of the week as well. But yes, our thoughts here at The Horn are with Andrew Jones and his family right now. You're listening to The Horn. Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, Tinder Time coming up in just a minute, as well as our Tweets of the Week. Real quick, though, in the first hour, we asked for suggestions. BK and I collectively are applying for the 10th assistant position that the University of Texas has posted for the football team. All college football programs, as of yesterday, can now hire a 10th assistant as part of their staff. So we're applying for that, and we're having to write a cover letter right now. So we asked for your suggestions of the sorts of things that we should put to help entice Tom Herman to at least give us an interview for the job. That would be pretty cool, and hopefully we would make that happen here on these very airwaves. This person says that we should put that while we're a bit of a womanizer, we also have kids. That's
combination.
An
I like that.
The combo.
Here, let me read what I have right now here.
Sure.
Let's update the people.
Let's reset this.
This is serious. This is a real job application. It's available to you too if you people want to try this out there. It's a nice $800,000 salary. You have to work variable hours, maybe 40, maybe more, probably more. But here's what I have. Hello. Me, Trad Kelling, is applying for the job of the 10th assist coach at UT. I'm tired of losing games all of the times in every sport. I can also assist coach in other sports as well, except for volleyball.
No, including volleyball.
Oh, including volleyball.
Except for women's sports.
Including volleyball.
Excluding volleyball.
I thought it was especially volleyball.
Especially volleyball to watch. I would still like to keep my current job of ripping the athletic program because it is only 3 hours a day. I am a great singer as well, singing the number one Billboard hit, Please Don't Suck, Part 2. It is way better than Please Don't Suck, Part 1, if you haven't heard. I own a binder like Tom Herman. I don't use it like Tom Herman. Hydration levels is solid. I am not a bad guy, but my urine is the color of the home uniforms. Extraordinary personnel / personal skills. Very humble, made a grill of aluminum foil in middle school once, can see individual leaves on trees, can spell Mensa. Half of me has seen the movie where Tom Herman's son is named after. Hobbies, not squinting during film watching, having wives tweet about wolves.
Mom thinks you're a better dresser, or that you're a sharp dresser and well-mannered.
Is that true?
You can walk downstairs better than Sergio Kendall.
Oof. Like that. We're getting some texts. People are still texting those in. We need some more texts, man. This is going to be a long, professional, detailed cover letter. It's got to be.
Okay.
I want this job. This is a big deal. I'm trying to be the 10th assistant. I'm trying to make Texas great again.
Here's a bragging point for me. Hit the first three-pointer in Dan F. Long Junior High history.
Is that true?
Yes.
Was it like the first year you guys had a basketball program?
Not the first year we had a basketball program. First game after they painted the three-point line, and I played for the B team, one of the two B teams.
So you played first.
And we played the first game, and I hit the only three-pointer in that game.
Hit the first three-pointer in some middle school's history.
Dan F. Long Junior High.
Also painted the three-point line on the court. We're good at art as well. We're adding all kinds of stuff.
Unassisted triple play in T-ball.
Did you? Is that good on a cover letter?
Yes. We're talking about our sports accomplishments.
Were you the pitcher? You just went around and did everything?
I was the third baseman.
What are we missing here from Tom Herman?
It was a pop foul, but those idiot base runners didn't know that they had to stop and go back to the base. I didn't trust my idiot teammates to catch the ball.
You all right? You okay?
One other thing.
You gotten over this?
One other thing.
Yeah, fire it away.
Scored a goal from midfield.
Oh! What, soccer?
As a five-year-old soccer player.
Okay, that's going on there.
My sports career, I'm realizing this right now, peaked at kindergarten.
Yeah, your whole life peaked at kindergarten. It's definitely not in the last few years I've known you.
I'm about to be 40 in a couple days. I'm feeling better physically than I was at 30 or 20, okay?
You got your anniversary coming up, your birthday coming up.
We're going to talk about this trip to San Francisco tomorrow, too.
Great, looking forward to that. So keep texting those in, 337-3776. We're trying to fill out a resume. We're trying to fill out a cover letter for this show. We want to be the 10th assistant coach, Trey and I combined, Trad Kelling. We're trying to make it happen. So keep those in. But yeah, keep seeing individual leaves on trees. That's important right there.
Let's hit tender time. Sponsor!
Tinder Time is brought to you by Altstadt Brewery. Altstadt Beer is German beer made here. The best beer you can find in Central Texas. Available all over Central Texas, wherever you buy beer. Get yourself a six-pack today. Ooh, I'm running on fumes. I'm losing my voice. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities. No regrets.
All right, Wags, what is the first headline in today's Tinder Time?
Man arrested at girls' JV basketball game.
Oh, yes. Swipe right.
This
I'm always creepy. Down for fan... Ooh, wait. Yeah, this could be very creepy. Okay, I'm not always down for, like, Harvey Weinstein-type stories, but I'm down for this. I'm down for the crazy fan who gets arrested at their kid's game.
Subtitle, I regret punching the ref in the face.
Whoa!
Swipe right.
Yeah, double swipe right. Double swipe right.
All right, so let's go on to Missouri, down to Raytown South High School. Individual by the name of DeJuan Lamont Marshall Jr., 21, attended his sister's JV girls basketball game. Well, the ref was making some very bad calls, and this was a gathering, a collected observation from the people in the stands. The ref was making some bad calls, and apparently, the player's brother, DeJuan, had enough of it. Went up, punched the referee, who was 33, Dallas Bryant, in the face, knocked him down, cold cocked. It was a sucker punch, really.
Oh, man.
Sucker punched him, and he hit the floor, needed medical attention. But after the game, the father was asked, Marshall's father was asked, you know, what happened and why he responded like that. Simply put, the ref was making some bad calls.
So this wasn't even a parent? This was the girl's brother?
The brother. The
wow.
parent The parent did give the statement of the ref.
Yeah, he's making some bad calls. You got to protect your kid. That's ridiculous. Boy, I mean, the helicopter parents, the parents who yell at the refs and do that is one thing, but going down and punching a ref, cold cocking him, knocking him out? Come on, man.
Yeah, apparently helicopter siblings are a thing now, too, but don't physically assault officials.
Are you going to be like that? When your kids get old enough to play sports, you're going to be yelling at the...
I'm pretty bad.
Are you like that way?
I'm not. I mean, since I've started coaching, I've become a little bit more conscious of how I ask.
You're not going to... you're not going to cold cock any refs, though? Knock anybody out?
Nah, man. I love my job.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, that is the other thing about it. In this day and age, if you do something like that, it could be career-ending for you.
Man, that is it's just like there's never been a call in any sports or that's giving me the thought of punching somebody in the face.
Yeah, the most
especially
you
at a
do
high school JV girls basketball game.
The most you do is when your team performs poorly, you punch and kick holes through a door,
right.
Rip it off of its hinges, and throw it out of the window.
Much more professional.
Third floor apartment.
Yeah, throwing glass bottles and throwing stuff, throwing couches off balconies. Way more professional than punching someone in the face.
That's true.
Come on, man.
What's up next, Wags?
The Falcons' defense is finding itself at just the right time.
Swipe right on
yeah.
this one.
All right, boys. Well, we know the Falcons traveled out west last week and, you know, pretty much shelled up and contained the NFL's dynamic offense, the highest scoring offense in the NFL.
Especially the ground game.
Right, exactly. Now, what do you guys think? They bowed up. They bowed well going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. They got to travel and play in Philadelphia, but going up against the Nick Foles here. Their defense is coming on strong already. They're ninth in total yards allowing total yards in the NFL. Passing yards allowed, NFL 12th. Rushing yards, NFL 9th. The defense is there. It's starting to come together. Does this team have what it takes for the sixth seed? And we hadn't seen a sixth seed since I think the New York Giants did it. Does it have the potential to go on and get back into the Super Bowl?
You know, I don't think that they do, but they've got a pretty favorable schedule. I mean, we talked about it last week. If they can find a way to beat the Rams, they'll get a chance to take on the Eagles. There's no way in hell, in my opinion, that if Carson Wentz is playing in this game on Sunday, that the Falcons can go into Philly and beat the Eagles. But obviously, no Carson Wentz. The Philly offense has struggled mightily with Nick Foles, so I do think Atlanta's going to win this game, and hey, they'll get to the NFC Championship. They've got the experience from a year ago, but no, I think the winner of the Saints-Vikings game in Minnesota is going to be representing the NFC. So I do think Atlanta will move on to the next round. I guess they got one more game to win to get to the Super Bowl, so it could happen, but I'm not picking it.
I think the Falcons win this weekend. I think they have a tougher time with Minnesota versus New Orleans the following week, whichever of those two teams wins. If it's the Saints, I may be picking the Falcons to win that one. If it's the Vikings, though, then yeah, I'm going with Minnesota to actually make it to the Super Bowl to play on their dadgum home field in a Super Bowl, which I guess if they're facing the Patriots or the Steelers, I'm okay with that if it gives them a little bit more of an advantage.
Yeah, no, and the Falcons defense, boy, they've been the calling card. I mean, obviously last year, Matt Ryan wins the MVP. Freeman goes for 1,000 yards. This year, Matt Ryan's taking a little bit of a step back, and the offense with Steve Sarkisian has not been what it was with Kyle Shanahan. But the defense, man, Deion Jones is just an unbelievable player. Keanu Neal as well on the back end. They've got guys who can rush the passer. They force a lot of turnovers as well. That's a really talented Atlanta Falcons defense. And, yeah, once again, they get a pretty lucky road going up against Philadelphia this weekend. We'll see what happens.
All right, real quick before the top of the hour, it is Tweets of the Week time. That, too, is sponsored, but this is by Audiovisual Consultations, BK.
Yes, sir. 255-8678. That's the number. Locally owned and operated since 1988 when you want the best in home audio or video or security, surveillance, whatever. Whatever you want, it's all automated, easy to use. AV Consultations, Tom McKay and the crew will take care of you. They've hooked both of us up. They're the best in the business. Check out their website, avconsultations.com.
My tweets of the week have a pretty heavy Jacksonville Jaguars theme. Going to start with someone by the Twitter name of Bruce Wayne. Playoff victory since 1996, Jags 4, Cowboys 2.
Oh, why'd you do that, man? There's no need. There's just no need.
I like to torture Cowboys fans.
Yeah, that's a good job of that. Well, the Cowboys in my lifetime have been pretty terrible, but you know the Jags haven't really done anything in the playoffs. But hey, they've been to a conference championship game in the last 20 years, and the Dallas Cowboys have not. So unbelievable. All right, here's I can't believe I'm doing this. It's from Mark Honig.
Oh, I thought you were gonna read something that I had done.
No, your tweets suck. Why would I do that? I'm not gonna lie to the people. Well, this is a respectable show. You're terrible online. You're not good at anything. I don't know what's going on here. But hey, that's nice. See, I'm trying to be nicer in 2018. That's a good New Year's resolution. You all right over there? You about to cry?
That doesn't feel good to be told you're terrible,
man,
at everything.
No, you're great at this. You're great at the show.
Oh, yeah, that was sincere.
Yeah, thank you. I love you, man. Don't hate me. All right, so I tweeted out on Monday when I was doing this show from my buddy's porch in Atlanta, tweeted out a picture of the view. And the great Mark Honig quotes the tweet and says, "This is the insight that no one else can get. Which cars are on the move? Which tree lost leaves within the last hour? Did a bird crap on the rail? Only at 104.9 The Horn." That was pretty good stuff from Mark Honig.
Yeah. Own dog.
What you got? What you got? What you got?
He brings the heat occasionally. There's a new Twitter handle called Bortles Facts, and they name themselves Blake Bortles Facts.
Great Twitter account.
I could pick any number of Blake Bortles Facts that have come out in the last couple weeks to a month since I started following this account, but the most recent one that I marked to reread during this segment is Blake Bortles has never thrown 5 interceptions in one game, and then they added Ben Roethlisberger's official account.
Well done. Oh, yeah, he's never... Blake Bortles has never been accused of sexual assault at Big Ben 7. That's a pretty good one, too. Blake Bortles has never lost to John Gruden. That's true. Yeah, trying to hype up Blake Bortles. Oh, here's another one now that I'm looking at their Twitter account. Blake Bortles has now defeated the Buffalo Bills on 2 continents. They played one time overseas. All right, here's not really a comedic tweet of the week, but it's a conversation I think that's worth having.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Saban is now 16-3 in national title games, SEC title games, and college football playoff semifinals. That makes him the best big game coach in college football history and maybe the best in modern history in all sports. Do you buy this? I mean, Nick Saban just got his 6th national championship as a college football coach, tying him with Bear Bryant for the most all time at that level. Number one, is he the GOAT in college sports and college football? Number two, where do you put him amongst the all-time coaching greats?
I mean, if he's the best at the college level, he would have to be up there. Now, the one thing I will say is that his NFL attempt wasn't exactly successful. So if some of these reports are true that the Giants job is the dream job for him and a logical next step, then I'll be interested to see how that plays out. But in the meantime, he's at the very least the greatest college coach of all time because he's tied for Bear Bryant. But in the modern era of college football, which is so much more competitive than it was back in Bear Bryant's day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There wasn't all white kids back in the day, too, when Bear Bryant was coaching?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, now the talent there is much harder. And look, what Nick Saban has done is absolutely phenomenal. 6 national championships, and he wins just about all these games, big games that he has to play. That's remarkable. And I heard the reports that Bruce Arians was the guy who broke the news, saying that Nick Saban, his dream job would be to go to the New York Football Giants. But I don't know why you'd leave. He's 66 years old. He just won a title when he's got, a freshman quarterback, freshman running back, ton of talent coming back next year.
You have that machine rolling,
yeah,
man.
Absolutely. I don't know why he would leave. I mean, he's just the absolute best. And
the NFL is so fickle, too. I know Bill Belichick has done something, and there are other franchises that are pretty consistent in terms of making it to the playoffs, rather, year after year. But the NFL is such a fickle league, too. Why would you leave a great setup like what he's got going on with the Crimson Tide right now? Did you hear him at the end of the game on Monday? He said this in that post-game interview on ESPN, that was the greatest moment of his life.
He said he couldn't be happier.
Yeah, couldn't be any happier. The greatest moment of his life. This guy has just won his sixth championship. How is that the greatest day of his life? I mean, I know he's got wife and kids that he probably cares moderately about, but was the first one really good?
I don't know, man. Maybe he didn't like Kirby Smart that much.
This was the closest one, I think, though, right?
And he knows how big of a deal it was. Like, he looks like a genius for making the move to Tua at halftime. I mean, every string that he pulled worked perfectly well. It's crazy. This dude has only been named Coach of the Year twice in college football.
But you guys bring up a good point. Doesn't he have complete control at Alabama?
He does.
He is the king, right?
And to pry him out of the Alabama job, I mean, even though he's a college coach, you'd likely have to give him control at the next level, too, with personnel decisions.
It'd require a Gruden-esque contract, right?
I think
one that's a little bit more deserving versus John, who's been sitting on the sideline calling games for the last 10 years
it's
now.
Unbelievable. All right, any more tweets of the week for you?
One more tweet of the week from this tweeter. From this day forward, asparagus shall be known as a finger food. That's from at Courtesy Wave.
Why is that? Why is asparagus a finger food?
Because it's better eaten as a finger food.
It's better not eaten in general.
Well,
You
could argue for that as well, but if you're going to eat it as a finger food. Let's stop acting like we need to cut out our asparagus into the little bite-sized pieces.
That's how I feel about pizza, man. I can't get down with people who eat pizza with a fork and a knife. I saw somebody eating a sandwich at the restaurant I was at in Atlanta, the super healthy place that I couldn't stand. I feel like I'm going to go home and just gag myself to throw up all that food. I saw somebody cutting up a sandwich with a fork and a knife. Are you kidding me?
Honestly, that's part of the reason why I'm not crazy about Chicago-style pizzas, because far too many people eat that with a fork and knife.
Hand steam. Yeah. Got to go hand steam.
Pizza, at its origin, was created so that you could eat it with your hands.
All food is originated
utensils.
As hand eating, right? They didn't have forks and knives back in the day.
I feel like sushi may have originally been created for the sake
chopsticks
of the chopsticks.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't, you can finger some sushi. Oh, that's a weird way to word it. You can pick up some sushi.
You can. And some people do choose to do it that way. Kevin Dunn eats his sushi with his fingers.
Probably get two in there, I guess, depending on the roll.
Yeah. Look, you can pick your sushi up with three or even four fingers if you really want to.
Interesting. I don't know how we got there. All right. Tweets of the week.
You can use all four fingers and your thumb to eat your sushi if you really wanted to. Yes, you have.
I'm testing this out. I'm testing this out. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, Justin Wells of Inside Texas. He'll get us back on track. We'll talk some Texas football and some Texas basketball. Of course, we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but it bears repeating. And we're trying to keep this a positive show, but some devastating news surrounding the 40 Acres. Sophomore guard Andrew Jones has been diagnosed with leukemia, according to a press release from the university a couple of minutes ago. There's just some devastation. The bombshell news from a little bit ago from Texas basketball. Andrew, of course, has missed the last couple of games with an undisclosed illness, and it has now been disclosed, and it is unfortunately not good. So prayers up to Andrew and his family and the Texas basketball family as well, and we'll talk to Justin Wells about it on the other side. Also, preview tonight's Texas TCU basketball game. Once again, a little Longhorn football. Always fun to talk Texas football. It's coming up midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.